You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. We go to the scripture reading. It's in Psalms chapter 33, and we're going to read verses 12 through 22. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Let's begin with prayer. Father God, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for the blessing of the word and our study of it. We thank you for particularly the responsibility that you've given to our little assembly here, and that is to get the word out rightly divided. And so we pray, Father, that we'll be faithful to that and good stewards of that responsibility. Again, we reiterate, as so many have, the many blessings we have in America, and we thank you for them, because you are the giver of every good and every perfect gift, and this is one of them, and we're thankful to be a part of that. So bless our study now. May it reach each heart's need, and may your Son be glorified. And this we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. Just as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were standing there before the fiery furnace, before Nebuchadnezzar put them in it, and they said, O king, let's turn there. Go over to Daniel. I could paraphrase it, but you know, it's just ridiculous to paraphrase it when we have the book in front of us and we can look at what God said, exactly how he said it. In Daniel chapter 4, chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. This is not really the day of independence for the people, for the men and women who signed that declaration and who took that stand and pledged all that they had. This was not the day of independence for them, because they were Christians. They knew the Lord God Almighty. They had independence. The truth is what they knew, and the truth had already made them free. This was the day celebrated, our 232nd celebration last Friday, of the day of our country's independence. And just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the delivery of that they had coming out of the fire wasn't independence for them. It wasn't the celebration of freedom or anything like that. They already had it. And they had it because they had faith in God. Look at verse 16. Let me just set that. You know that Nebuchadnezzar had this idol, and they blew these horns, and whenever the horns blew, they were to fall down and worship that idol wherever they were. Okay, and these three would not do it. Absolutely not do it. And so they are taken by Nebuchadnezzar, and they are brought to this fiery furnace. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, who had just told them, you know, when the horns blow, you hear all that stuff, and you need to bow down. And here's their answer. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were already free men. They knew the truth. They knew who they served. They knew who God was in their life. They had no doubt. They had no ambivalence about it. They were hard rock fundamentalists, because they believe in the Word of God, in their worship of the Lord God Almighty. Come back to Psalms. So for them, it wasn't a day of independence to stand up and declare that. It wasn't for the men who stood up and declared our independence in Philadelphia on that day 232 years ago in a few days. and then signed it, and then took off to war. It really was just the summation of decades and centuries of time and effort of people who saw what was in America and who knew what America was all about and who came to America. That's what the Declaration of Independence really is a picture of. It didn't just happen because, well, one day they said, you know, we're just kind of tired of this guy ruling over us. That wasn't it at all. You know, once you read the Declaration of Independence, they outlined all of their complaints against the king. But these were free men. These were free people who had never given up hope. And if I had a lesson from today's teaching, it would be that. Never give up hope. Never give up hope. Because you've got to always remember who's in charge. Who's running things. You've got to have your hope in the Lord God Almighty. The one who created all these nations throughout all of this historical time that we know. He's the one who sets up kingdoms. He's the one who sets up kings. He's the one who removes them. Just think back. Look at Nineveh. Here is Nineveh, an ungodly nation, but God granted them for a space of 100 years, granted them His mercy and His grace. He sent Jonah to tell them. And here was a city that had, I don't know how many people, the Bible says 120,000 didn't know their left from their right. That could be kids. And if that's 120,000 kids, that's, you know, it could be 600,000 total people. But it does say it took 3 days to walk all the way through the city. And just out of the preaching of one man, Jonah, that nation turned. Now, I don't know if it was a 51-49 vote. Might have been. I don't know how they ran there. You know, there may have been a king. And he said, you know, this is it. We're going to go with Jonah. I do know this, so that God had mercy on that nation. And we look today and we think, oh my gosh, you know, we are so full of atheist and homosexuality. And we're so full of materialism. And we're so full of humanism to the nth degree in our nation today that we begin to lose hope. We lose sight. We begin to just... And we rail. We begin to rail against people that, as Dale Tackett said, are captive. They're captive. They're prisoners. They've been blinded. Paul writes about. They've been blinded by the God of this world. They've been fooled by his ministers who look like angels of light. And they follow them. Even on the front page of our own newspaper, we have, in the Gailey, Oklahoman, we have constant promotions of homosexual behavior in positive light instead of recognizing it for what it is. It is an abomination in the eyes of God, and we need to remember that. We need to stand up for that kind of thing. We need to remind people that God doesn't condone that any more than He condones anything else in His Scriptures that He's called sin. America has a lot to be thankful for. People from all over the globe came to America, and they began coming long before 1776. You remember 1492? Anybody remember 1492? Nobody's that old in here? Okay. Just want to check, see if you're still with me. Columbus founded America, 1492. Thought he found the West Indies, you know. He thought he found a little appendage of Asia down here, and he came over and he studied it. But then some guy named, Americus Vespucius or something. Okay, we got some Italians in here. That's good. See, we're a melting pot. He was a cardiographer. You know what that is. That's a guy who, yeah, he makes maps. Good. And, He had two visits over, and he began to realize that this wasn't the West Indies. This wasn't another appendage to Asia, and they still do. Now, this was around 1500, 1502. It was a fourth continent. They only had four at those times. That's all they knew about, were four continents. How many do we have now? Does anybody know? Got seven? Okay, I'm just checking. Yeah. Well, And it's from his name and the feminization of his name from the Italian name Americus. Amerigo. Oh, A-M-E-R-I-G-O. Amerigo. Vespucci. America. That's where America comes from. And we get the name for America. You know, America is synonymous with the United States. But, you know, there's South America, there's Central America, and there's North America. And it encompasses a lot of land and a lot of territory. But when you talk about America, when people speak of that country, you know they're not talking about Brazil. And they're not talking about Panama. No, they're talking about the United States of America. Well, there's been so much written about it and so much said about it. And we have been the benefactors of a lot of God's blessings. God blesses the nation. If you look at our passage today in Psalms 33, verse 12, God blesses the nation that calls him their Lord. That's what it says. Blessed is the nation whose God. Israel enjoyed the beauty of serving and worshiping the one true God. And Israel, every time they walked away from that, every time they rebelled against that, God didn't just shut them out and close the door. So you have hope in America. Israel had lots of problems. But it doesn't say blessed is Israel. It just says blessed is the nation. It could be any nation. It could be Nineveh. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Every nation who has called him their Lord and who has followed his precepts and who has put him on the throne. And I don't mean by a theocracy. I mean in the hearts of the people who are the picture of that country. They have been blessed. And what I like about verse 12 is the next phrase, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now, we know that was Israel, that's the apple of his eye, but we know today, in a different dispensation, that God has taken to himself an inheritance, which is the body of Christ. And we get to Ephesians chapter 1, and we who rightly divide, we claim when it says that we have obtained an inheritance in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1, we say we have been taken as an inheritance. That's our understanding of that passage. It doesn't really read that way. But we see when the words are used over in the Septuagint in the Old Testament, we see that it means that they have been taken by God as an inheritance. Why do people disagree with us when we talk about that? When it says right here in verse 12, and the people whom he hath chosen for what? His own inheritance. That's the only lesson on right division you'll get for this morning. It's amazing what God has done, and we need to remember and have hope. Look at verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. God doesn't stand beside us. He doesn't stand below us. He is above us. And he looks down on us. He doesn't have anything that misses his eye. And what does he do? He beholds all the sons of men, the sons of Adam, and particularly his own children. He looks at. If he cares about a sparrow, and if he cares about what happens to a sparrow who might fall from a tree, what do you think he thinks about us? Well, we know what he thinks about us. He sent his own dear son to redeem us. And if it's not worth saying, then maybe like Ronald Reagan said, when we become a nation that is not under God, we have become a nation that is destroyed. I can't remember the exact phrase, but let me paraphrase that. See, I need the original site. It was on my video that we're not going to see. Sorry. He repeats it in verse 14. Look at that. From the place of his habitation. From the place of his habitation. Just so that you know that it is exclusive. Exclusive. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Good and bad. Nothing escapes the eye of the Lord. He beholds all that's going on. He knows not just who they are. He knows what they are. Look at verse 15. He fashioned their hearts alike. He knows that in his eyes they're all the same. King or beggar. Man or woman. Adult or child. And in this country we know from that Declaration of Independence that so immortalized that all men are created equal. He fashioned all of their hearts alike. We know that there's not one who's better than another. The king is only there because God set him there. The beggar is only here because God put him there. I think of that Pauline letter to the Romans in chapter 5, and he says, rejoice in tribulation. What? You got to be out of your mind, Paul. No, he says it. Rejoice in tribulation. Why? Because it takes it out of your hands. It puts it in the hands of God. Because tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Hope. Look at the last verse in this chapter. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us. What a prayer that is. Let thy mercy be upon me. You're talking this morning, just give me those five numbers for the lottery. Oh, merciful God, I'll do what's right for it. I'll make Northside big. We'll have an organ that has pipes. Well, okay, you get the picture. No, that's not what God's mercy is all about. You remember mercy and grace? What's mercy? Yeah, not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Yeah, mercy is not getting what you do deserve. That's the mercy of God. And that's only found in His Son. And He says, let thy mercy, O Lord, what a prayer, let thy mercy be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Let's never lose our hope in Him. Come back to verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host, or a mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And a horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. There's no mortal man alive that will deliver you. There is no mortal man that will keep you out of the hand of God, if you're in the hand of God, or take you out of the hand of God. There's no mortal man when it comes to the infinite almighty God. And there's no military that can save you. Verse 17 about that horse. That's what he's talking about. It's a vain thing to think. Think of all the nations that have come and gone and think of how great they were. But what we have today is America. And we have all the bountiful blessings of God portrayed in this country. And we are a light and a beacon and have been for 500 years to all the nations on the globe. They've all come here. In 1920s, there was a guy named Al Jolson. And he was an immigrant of Russian and Polish descent. He was Jewish. And his dad was a cantor at the church. And Al had a beautiful voice. And he wanted to sing. He wanted to sing the music of the day. He wanted to sing the jazz. He wanted to sing what was going on. His dad wouldn't do it. His dad kicked him out. And he found a job and began to sing these jazz songs that were coming primarily from the African American community that were upbeat, good tempo. And some guy saw him and he said, oh man, this is a terrific story. And he made a movie out of it called The Jazz Singer. And I don't know the guy, that Jakey Rabinowitz was the lead character in The Jazz Singer. And it was Al Jolson. There's a story about Al Jolson. They turned down three actors turned down Warner Brothers to star. And finally I said, well, let's get Al. It's about him. So they got Al Jolson, and he sang. And this is an unusual movie in 1927 because it was the first time they synchronized. Yeah, but you didn't know that. They had these talkies. This is the first time they synchronized the audio onto the film, the very first one. It was popularized again in 1980 by Neil Diamond, but it didn't make it very far. It bombed. It was a bomb, though, at the box office. I'm sorry, but it had a wonderful song called They're Coming to America, or America. Do you remember that? Okay, Mike? We're waiting for the song, Mike. Okay, just wave at me when you get ready. The words are far, we've been traveling far, without a home, but not without a star. Free, only want to be free, we huddle close, hang on to a dream. On the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America. Never looking back again, they're coming to America. Home, don't it seem so far away? Oh, we're traveling light today, in the eye of the storm, the eye of the storm. Home, to a new and a shiny place, make our bed, we'll say our grace. Freedom's light, burning warm, freedom's light, burning warm. All right, you guys are going to miss out on that. Sorry, he was supposed to play. It's just a want to be free. Okay. Popular song. But it's a picture of immigration. It's a picture of immigration during the 1920s. It's a picture of immigration throughout all the history of America, about everybody who came to this country, because this country had two things that offered people primarily. It offered so much else, but it offered freedom and liberty. And they always talked about freedom and liberty. They always, when you look at all the songs and all the artistic things that talk about America, whether it's in the paintings or in the poems or in the any other facet of art, they talked about freedom and liberty. I mean, is there a reason behind the French giving us the Statue of Liberty? Yes. They were all coming to this country. Not just Christopher Columbus and not just Amerigo Vespucci, but all the people from all over the globe would come to this country, because this was a country that everybody knew was free. And its freedom was based on the claims of Christ. And we had a video now we were going to watch that we're not going to watch because our video cord doesn't work. But you would see all the different wonderful historical settings in Washington, D.C. and that area, and the quotes of people like John Quincy Adams and Thomas Jefferson, and really heart-stirring. But you don't get to see it, so I'm sorry. That's it. They're coming to America. What matters to America? Dr. Criswell said this, Oklahoma boy, and went to Texas, you know, and had a church down there. Dr. W.A. Criswell, if you hadn't heard of him, a real popular preacher. He said, "Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord." He says, "The might and strength of America is a miracle in the story of humanity and in civilizations of mankind. There's never been an empire, much less a nation, who ever approached the might and strength of America. Nebuchadnezzar's golden Babylon would be a drop in the bucket compared to the might and the strength of America. The material blessings," to continue quoting Dr. Criswell, "of God upon our nation is fantastic. If you travel much and compare the standards of living of the ordinary American to the life of the people who largely inhabit this globe, you'll see how much we have. More bathtubs, more telephones, more cars, more TV sets, more refrigerators, more gadgets, more everything, and more and more and more, and a higher standard of living to sustain it than the world has ever known." And there is a reason, he continues to say, there is a reason why these marvelous, mighty material blessings are upon our people. It is found in the history of our nation, in its reverence and devotion to God. If expanse, or if resources made a nation great, Russian Siberia would be the greatest nation in the earth. If vast population made a nation great, India would be the greatest nation in the earth. If ancient civilization made a nation great, China would be the greatest nation in the earth. But America, American greatness, not found in its resources, not found in its vast population, not found in its ancient civilization, but it is found in the spiritual foundations of its founders. Amazing. Oh yeah, go ahead. No, let's don't. I've only got 5 minutes. The first national anthem we ever had speaks about the things that pertain to God and the people and the freedom that He gave us. We're going to play Hail Columbia in just a minute, but let me read the words to you, because this really was our first national anthem. Star Spangled Banner didn't come along until 1931. And this was set up. Hail Columbia, the tune you're going to hear in just a minute, Hail Columbia was set up as our first national anthem. They're coming to America. Okay. Hail Columbia, hail happy land, hail ye heroes.
heroes,
heaven-born band who fought and bled in freedom's cause, who fought and bled in freedom's cause, and when the storm of war was gone, enjoyed the peace your valor won. Let independence be our boast, ever mindful what it cost, ever grateful for the prize. Let its altar reach the skies. They're coming to America. Okay. Can you play Hail Columbia now? Okay, give it a try. Okay, Hail Columbia. You all ever heard that?
Yep.
Never heard of it. Let me tell you, when it was written back in 1798 by Joseph Hopkinson, it was the President's March. Now we have the new one, Hail to the Chief, and that music is the introduction of the Vice President today. Whenever he comes in, that's the music they play for the Vice President. Hail Columbia. That's enough of that. Okay. We see in all of this, we see in God We Trust. As in our passage, if you come back to our verse 18, behold the eye of the Lord, Psalms 33. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear Him, upon those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. The one in whose hand they can never find discouragement, who are constantly made happy and blessed. Oh, it's not the happiness that's measured by the world's yardstick, but it's the happiness that comes from knowing the one true God. Verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord, who is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in Him, because what? We have trusted in His holy name. What a motto. And that is our motto. In God we trust. Didn't become our motto until the 1950s. But it had, among other mottos, been bandied about as being America's motto prior to that. We find that in the Star Spangled Banner. Is that right? Is that where that comes from? What song is that comes from? While you're looking that up, I'll tell you real quick. The Star Spangled Banner was written in 1814 by Francis Scott Key. Now, the history prior to that is the War of 1812. We were in a battle with the British. And in that battle, we got drug into it because the British had been fighting the French since 1796. And they put an embargo on the New England states, the Yankees. And we were trading with the French up in Canada. And they didn't like that. And so they put an embargo, the British put an embargo, and took our sailors and our seamen captive and put them indentured and forced them to sail with the British fleet. And so we went to war against them in 1812. In 1814, they had already burned our capital. They burned our Congress. They burned Washington, D.C. And Francis Scott Key went to the president at that time, Madison, James Madison, who was using his wife's sister's home as a presidential location. And he said, they have taken a Baltimore physician. I think his name was Beans, B-E-A-N-S or N-E-S, Beans. And we needed physicians, and they took him. They wrongfully took him. He was on a boat out in the harbor, Baltimore, the Baltimore Harbor. And so he said, can we go and negotiate a prisoner exchange? And he said, yeah. And so they went, and they were on that ship in that harbor. And they negotiated the exchange, but they wouldn't let them get back in their boat and go back to land, these three men, the exchange agent from Madison, Key, and Beans, Dr. Beans. They made them stay because that night they were bombing Fort McHenry. And they sat in their boat and they watched the bombing of Fort McHenry, and they wondered through the night whether or not their flag, which they could see through the bombs bursting in air, if it would still be standing. And you remember that phrase he says, and our flag was still there. And he got this idea. And he wrote this poem in 1814. I think 1931 is when it was officially commissioned. Woodrow Wilson in 1916 had commemorated it, but it hadn't become our national anthem until 1931. Star-Spangled Banner, Francis Scott Key. Amazing stuff. The last thing I want to tell you is the motto, "In God We Trust." In 1864, it began to be added to coins. And it was only because people, feeling the despair of the Civil War and knowing that this could be a picture of God removing that hedge. You remember we talked about that last week? God has put a hedge around Job, and Satan came to him and said, "Well, why doesn't Job bless you and praise you and follow you?" "Because you got a hedge around him. Remove the hedge, he'll curse you to your face." Job wouldn't do it. America has a hedge around it. We talked about that last week a little bit. They feared that maybe the Civil War was God removing his hand. And it'll happen. Oh, it'll happen. God will. Remember in Thessalonians, he talks about that. He says, when he removes that which restrains. And you can't imagine every evil work that begins and the tribulation starts. And he who sits in the temple claim himself to be God, the Antichrist, the false prophet. It'll happen. It's happened today. It happens today for those that God turns them over to a reprobate mind. Those that know him and deny him. And they begin to do all kinds of unseemly things. God does have a hedge. He has a hedge around America, but have hope, he hasn't removed it. We're winning many battles. We're fighting on many fronts, and it seems at times that the only thing allowed, or the only thing that the modern media will allow, is despair, unless you believe their way, and that is all encompassing of everything. Humanism, materialism, atheism. So in 1864, they began to put "In God We Trust" on our pennies, our 1 cent piece, our 2 cent piece, and our 5 cent piece. In 1956, Congress made a law, "In God We Trust," our national motto, and they added the phrase to all American currencies. And so we see it not only on our currencies, but we see it in the hallowed halls of Congress, in the House of Representatives, and over in the Senate we see above, "In God We Trust." We see "In God We Trust" is on the Washington Monument. And we need to remember that that is who we trust in. But that's what this verse is telling us there in verse 21. Our heart shall rejoice in him, because why? And why can we trust in him? Because he's faithful. Ever faithful. His mercies are everlasting. In 1918, Irving Berlin wrote this song called "God Bless America." And Betty's going to come and play that. And we're going to sing it. I don't remember what page it's on. But it is a song that Kate Smith made very popular on July the 4th in 1938. It was Armistice Day. It was broadcast all over the country. It's amazing that we begin our sporting events with the Star-Spangled Banner, and we stand. We sing our national anthem, unless you believe in the African black national anthem like Rene Marie. You hadn't heard about that in Colorado about a week ago. The mayor was going to give the report of the city. And they asked this singer months ago to come and sing the national anthem. And she said, "I decided," this is her quote, she said, "I decided months ago I wasn't going to sing it, but I didn't tell them. I pulled the old switcheroo," quote unquote. "I pulled the old switcheroo on them." And she sang another anthem, the black anthem. We don't have a black national anthem. We don't have that. We have one nation here. And we have one national anthem. And then about the seventh inning, halfway between the seventh and the eighth inning, after September 11th, 2001, they started singing God Bless America, this song we're going to sing. And not all sporting events do this, but there is one that does it every time. And it's the New York Yankees. Now, I had something about Yankee Doodle Dandy, which there's some history to that. And if you get a chance, you know the song, Yankee Doodle went to town riding upon a pony, stuck a feather in his hat and called it macaroni. Now, macaroni wasn't food or pasta. Macaroni was a fashion statement from France, I think that's, or was it Italy? Yeah. Oh, yeah, macaroni. Yeah. From those Italians. So that's the macaroni he sticks in his hat. It was, he took a feather in his hat and called it macaroni. That's what that's all about. But how did I get off on Yankee Doodle Dandy? Oh, the Yankees. Thank you. Okay, they have their own broadcasting station called Yes, Y-E-S, so they can sing anything they want. And the other networks don't like it because it takes up a lot of time. Some of the baseball teams that are pitching to the home team in the bottom of the seventh don't like it because their pitcher has to sit there and he can't warm up. He just kind of gets a little fatigued. Wah. Okay. Poor pitcher sits there three outs in the dugout. What's a, this song is a great song. What page is it, Betty? Okay, we're just going to sing the first verse because I bet we don't know any more verses than that. Huh. Oh, okay, that's it. Before we read, sing it, let me read to you that on this Armistice Day when it was sung, that Irving Berlin wrote a prelude to it. And you may, if you've caught the Yankees and you've watched them play in the seventh inning stretch, the Irish tenor who gets up and sings it, he will begin with this. While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the blessing of our liberty and our freedom here in America. We thank you for our country. We pray that our country, Father, as a nation, turn back to you in all its ways. May we be active and involved in whatever way, form, or shape that you have for us. May we not shrink from the duty that you've called us to. We thank you that we might have this boldness in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all wisdom and knowledge is. And may we, Father, in our hearts reflect that. And we thank you for these graces in his name. Amen.
His name is wonderful.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.